Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Well, I would like to read a passage of Scripture, kind of move through that, and then I have an encouragement for you. I want to turn to Luke 4, verse 13. Hey, I don't know who left these glasses here, these flowery, cute reading glasses, but they're the only ones I could find in the building this morning, so thanks. I stand strong. I know what's up. I don't care. All right. So Luke 4:13. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, found the place where this was written. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pause, and I'm going to actually read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, I believe. And then we'll come back to Luke 4. It's probably quoted very similarly in Luke, but there's a little bit more in Isaiah. And if you were a Jewish man or woman of that time, in particular the boys were trained up to memorize scripture. And so when this began to get read, you could recite it verbatim in your head. So you knew what was being read. And so I want to read it as it was first presented in Isaiah 61. And this is Jesus quoting it. And so I'll start with verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Back to Luke 4:20. He rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant and he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus, thank you for your word, and I want to ask now, would you bring it into the light so that it can be applicable to us? And I ask that you would help us connect with it in a way that we can metabolize it and let it become part of our action. So the beginning and the middle and the end of Jesus's public ministry hinged entirely on being anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And the way that God chooses to engage humanity is with the list that's described in Isaiah 61. Goodness, repair, freedom, light, comfort, beauty, joy. You could say praise or singing even. And in all of this, God makes things right. So in a word, Jesus was anointed to revive people. This last week, I had a chance to... It's been on the calendar since September, I think it was. Wasn't it, Tiff? I mean, me and six other guys who I've been on adventures with for several years now, we packed up and we did a hut trip. And for those of you who don't know what that is, there's these off-the-grid huts. And when you think of hut, you think of a shack in the back of yard. But I want you to think of a hut in terms of a place that you wish was your home, because it's so beautiful. It's like big timbers and big wood-burning stoves, and you have to melt snow for the water, and there's propane, so there is the propane, and it's you know, able to bring light with the gas lights and the stoves are the burners in the kitchen, and you got these really old, like from the 1800s, wood burning oven, you know, with the really beautiful chrome, silver ends and all the ornate stuff. So imagine that. That's the hut. But you have to ski in, you know, and it's usually uphill. So you put skins on your skis and you're cruising up. If you don't know what that is, Google it later, not now. And so we went from one hut to another hut on Tuesday, and then we stayed at that hut for two nights. And when we got to that hut, we could tell that someone else was in the hut. You don't have the whole hut to yourself. Some of these huts sleep 16 people. So you never quite know who you're going to meet, but you meet the nicest people in the mountains, right? And so we knew that someone had set up and then they were out. And when you have a day where you're not traveling from one hut to another, you're usually out trying to find a safe slope that's not going to avalanche on you, to do some laps. And so you ride down and then you skin up and you ride down, and you might get four of those runs in a day, because it takes a long time to skin up, thousands of vertical feet. And you earn your turns and it's really fun and it's exhilarating and all that kind of stuff. So that evening, this couple comes in. And they're an older couple, I think mid-60s. I think she was maybe 61. And we met them, and we said hello, and we got to talking. And then, you know, we started doing our dinner, and they started doing their dinner. And all of a sudden, you know, we're kind of having these conversations with them. And the next night, so this would be Thursday night, Kim, she finally just plops down in the middle of all seven of us. And she says, "Look, I need to ask you guys a question. Because when I met you yesterday, every single one of you looked me in the eye and you treated me with dignity." Now, mind you, she's an adventurer and she's got a long history of really epic adventures, we discovered. In fact, one of our team actually knew her, was in her first wedding in the 80s because he was best friends with her husband. So all of a sudden, like, all of these quote-unquote coincidences started to happen, right? And so she sits us down on Thursday, and she's like, "I just have to know, what is your spiritual connection with each other? Because when I met you, even before I knew that Gil was a part of your team, I met all six of you guys, and my spirit started to really vibrate." And she goes, "I don't really know what that means. I don't even go to church. I've not been to church. I didn't grow up going to church. I don't know much about all that. But what I know is I couldn't go to sleep last night because my insides were just vibrating. What is up with you guys?" So there was this flow. And I shared with you before that that Jesus, as the anointed one, is known as the Christ. The seven of us guys who all love Jesus and who are all like relying on the Spirit of the living God to empower us to be the men that God's created us to be. Like, he anoints us. We're just being ourselves. We're goofing around. We're just like telling bad jokes and eating bad food and hanging out at this hut and talking about adventures. And this woman's spirit is vibrating. So finally we just sat her down and we were just like, we love Jesus. We don't like religion. But we love Jesus. And all the questions started to happen and all the answers started to flow. And by the next morning when they were packing up to leave, there's numbers being exchanged and addresses being exchanged and books being handed over. And all of this encouragement that I believe personally that Jesus was on assignment in that hut to revive that woman and her boyfriend Peter. And we love them and they're amazing. And we know that there will be a day when we see each other again. Pretty soon, actually, I think that's going to happen. So this word Christ, to be anointed and to move in that way where we actually could be relating to Jesus as the anointed. You know the word Christ comes from the word Christos, which is Greek for anointed. And it's equivalent to the word, the Hebrew word where we get the word Messiah. And so to be the Christ or the Messiah is to be the anointed one of God. Now, I want to take a little turn here from my story about the hut, because I'm sure most of us here, we've heard of the Antichrist spirit, right? Antichrist. And most of us have this idea that in the last days, a man will emerge and will lead many away from Jesus, like it's going to be a showdown between Jesus and the Antichrist. But I draw from the scripture that this is already in full swing. And so let's turn to 1 John 2. And in verse 18, so 1 John 2. And I'll tie some things together here in a moment. So this isn't a complete departure. But the word Christ, as it pertains to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus, enabled him to bring revival to cities, to the world. He continues to do that. It's important for us to understand that there is an antichrist or an anti-anointing that is fully at work on planet Earth right now as well. And so, dear children, in verse 18, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last day. Now let's go down to 20, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, or the anointed one. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Now, I won't necessarily point towards individuals because I draw from, you know, scripture that says, look, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So in my opinion, if it has a heartbeat, it's not your enemy. But the Antichrist comes from the liar, which is Satan. He speaks lies. That's his native language. So my premise is that the Antichrist spirit is simply Satan and his associates doing everything they can to draw people away from Jesus. And if they can't convince you to be anti-Jesus, like let's say you actually come into faith in Jesus, you ask Jesus to come into your life, then I believe the Antichrist spirit moves through the Christian church and attempts to draw people away from the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's available to every believer. Anti-anointing. So Antichrist is anti-anointing. And so this is why there's so many divisions within the Christian church throughout the history and even today around the topics of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the ministry and the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit fully functioning in and through the church fulfills Jesus' mandate to bring revivals to cities all over the globe. And so, as we've seen in 1 John 2:20, you have been anointed from the Holy One. And as it has been with Jesus, so it is with you. You. Now, this is where we need to just bring it down simply. Like, in a word, you and I have been anointed to facilitate revival in the sphere of life that God has placed you in. Just like Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring all of these amazing things wherever he went, you and I have been anointed with the same Spirit. And so, this is where we have to pause, and I'm going to take just a little different step now towards this idea that it's really a question. Can you allow yourself to believe what is written about you in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4? And we're going to turn there now. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. This is, I believe, part of how the Antichrist spirit moves within the church. It's not only with divisions that are hard and painful and bring like a dualism of who's in and who's out. It's not only that overt, but sometimes the way that the enemy of the Holy Spirit works is more covert. It's more subdued. And this is where you and I get to take a survey of some of our own beliefs and some of our own attitudes when it comes to who the Holy Spirit is for us. And it starts with the question, I mean, can we allow ourselves to believe what's written here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4? It says this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, speaking of Jesus, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. So pause there. Can you allow yourself to believe that you share in the divine nature of Jesus? That's the question. Can you allow yourself to believe that you share in the divine nature of Jesus? I think that one prominent influence of the Antichrist spirit among Christians is what I would call diminishment. And it masquerades itself as humility. If Satan can convince you that you're still a worm, that you're still trapped in your old sinful nature, then you will be powerless. And you'll probably witness revival from a distance. And watching other people function in the gifts of God may even reinforce this false belief that you're disqualified. Because you imagine that God could use you if you were more, fill in the blank, more spiritual, more disciplined, more righteous, etc., etc. So it's this catch-22 thing that happens. You hesitate allowing yourself to be in the action because you've agreed with a lie that you don't have what it takes. And the lack of power in your life serves to convince you that you are actually powerless. And so so this is a diminishment cycle operating in some spiritual lives, perhaps your entire life, I don't know, but I'm here to interrupt that cycle today. Push pause on the cycle that you're diminished and that you do not share in the divine nature of Jesus. This is, honestly, this is where it gets really hard for some of my friends who have hung out with spiritual seekers, because I have, and I love hanging out with people like Kim. And there would be this idea that you're born with a divine nature. And that as a New Age seeker, you might just really latch on to this idea that you have the divine nature apart from Jesus. We're not into that. We're into this idea that because of your humility and your dependence on the salvation of Jesus Christ, He has come into you and empowered you with something far beyond yourself, far beyond what you were born with. And you share in His divine nature. So we don't need to be freaked out by even that language, divine nature. It's in the scripture and it's true about you. The thing that I want to do is I want to interrupt this cycle because it's not humility, it's actually unbelief. And it's generated from an antichrist spirit. 2 Peter 1 informs us, what God requires of you is not that you become more disciplined and more spiritual and more this, that, and the other thing. What he's saying in 2 Peter is that you are connected with Jesus and that you're receptive to His promises. Like, the old is gone and the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's a promise. And then thirdly, what 2 Peter 1 is asking of you is that you become more agreeable with the truth that you actually share in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So get to know Jesus more. Receive His promises as truths over your life and come into agreement with the fact that you have been given the divine nature of Jesus. And you have been and you are being anointed by the Holy One with the Spirit of the living God. And He has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He's sending you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And that vengeance isn't necessarily a judgment against people, but a judgment against anything that hinders love. He has anointed you to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, and to bring a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning. And it doesn't mean that we pretend like we're not mourning and we pretend like, you know, there is no grief and we pretend like, you know, there's no loss in our life. We enter into it with them, and while we're walking the journey with them, they begin to hold grief in one hand and joy in another. So it's not a convincing people to pretend like everything is okay. It's a bringing of life and reviving Spirit of Christ into the brokenness. So one aspect at a time, I mean, at least for me personally, I mean, there's a long list of things in here, right? And if I feel like I'm responsible to bring that to every single person that I meet, oh my gosh, I can't do it. And so there have been seasons in my life personally when I've been flowing and a grace gift to pray for healing for people who are physically sick and broken. And I've personally witnessed Jesus heal people of some incurable things. And it's been amazing. And that season has ebbed and flowed. And then there's been seasons where, like more recently, where, you know, I'm actually in a season of binding up the broken hearts. That's a season where the Lord has me partnering with Jesus to come into places of people's stories where their hearts have been broken and they've experienced trauma in a way that they've disassociated from certain parts of their lives, and the Lord is bringing integration back into wholeness. And that's a process that Jesus has me in recently. And by recently, I mean the last 4 years or so. So much so that without striving, without promoting myself, without putting my name out there, I'm getting invitations for things to do that. And I'm paying attention. Like, for example, next week, I won't be here on Sunday because I've gotten an invitation to go to Fort Bragg And I've been invited to be a part of a team of people who are going to train 45 Army chaplains in formational prayer therapy. Okay. I can do that. So pray for me and my family. Because it doesn't matter what station of life you're in, what occupation, what your life pursuits have become. It's not enough that we would just get more information. We need encounters with the living Jesus. And I commend the 45 Army chaplains who are going to submit themselves to some training and some personal exploration of their own stories as they learn how to provide for the soldiers that they're influencing and they're in their sphere. That's exciting to me. So this week, allow yourself to meditate on what aspect of this out of Isaiah 61 has the Lord highlighted for you in the season of your life. Maybe there's someone in particular that you've been in relationship with where you could say, I could see where the Lord could use me to bring encouragement to that person. Don't sell yourself short and don't fall into false humility. Remember that you've been given the Holy Spirit of the living God and you share in the divine nature of Jesus Christ to bring revival into situations and into people's lives. Sarah Lee, you bring revival into the school. You do. You bring life there. You do. I see it. It's true. And so, whatever emerges, it's all going to flow from a place of intimacy and experientially knowing Jesus. It comes from agreeing with the truth that God's promises about you are real and they're for you. And it comes from an acceptance of the fact that you've been established in Jesus and you share in his divine nature. And so let's meditate on that. And honestly, let's just allow a simple yes in our hearts to rise up. Yes, God, I'm available. And that's all I wanted to share today. So can we pray for that? That the Lord would help you? So just get yourself in a position of receptivity. I'm just pausing for a moment because I've got some things just kind of flowing in, like this verse that says we overcome evil with good. So wherever the Antichrist spirit has had influence in our lives, we just thank you, God, that that is overcome with good. So we receive the goodness of what you're saying to us here today. It's an invitation to be with you in some ways that we get to experience the reality of the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven. And we get to experience the joy of it, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be a help for people and to be a resource, knowing all day, every day that you are the source. And so Jesus, thank you for that. And I want to pray, Lord God, if there's anyone that's in that kind of diminishment cycle in life, that you would step right into the middle of that now. Quiet the anxiety of their heart and speak truth and bring not only a peace, but an assurance and a new confidence that you know the story. And in light of all of that, you've chosen us. And it's not by our strength and not by our might, but by the Spirit of the living God that we have any hope for fruitful outcome that brings life. And so we say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Just make it personal now. We say yes to you. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for allowing me the grace and the gifts and the capacities that go beyond myself. And thank you for allowing me to share in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we meditate this week on what aspects of this mandate have you highlighted for us? Maybe it's giving good news to the poor, actually poor or spiritually poor or both. Maybe it's helping someone find joy. Maybe it's bringing freedom to somebody. Thank you for the opportunity to experience that with you. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you that in all of this, the invitation is to know you more. And so as we come to you in this week, in our times of solitude, where we open up your word, as we communicate our heart to you, as we listen for you, as we open up the eyes of our heart to experience you, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in ways that we've never known you before. And I pray this in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.